I'll introduce myself by saying it was my birthday on Thursday. Thank you very much. So when I was 9, I decided I was too old to go to Sunday school. Our mum and dad, like most parents years ago, would get rid of you for 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. You were at the house. What they got up to when you were gone, I don't know. But we were at the house. There was 8 of us. I'm one of 8 children. And they said, we're starting. Years ago, they used to have the Saturday morning cinema. Did you ever? Some of the older generation used to go to the cinema on a Saturday morning. Selioak Elim Church, there was a group of people that lived in Sturchley, and they wanted to start a children's sunshine corner, which is like a Sunday school. So they went to the Saturday morning cinema and they handed out leaflets, come to Sunshine Corner. So I was too old for all this, but my sister and brothers, they went. And they came back from Sunshine Corner Sunday afternoon, and they said, oh, it's great. Sing songs. If you bring somebody new, you get some sweets. If it's your birthday, you get sweets. So a few weeks went by. My birthday came, and I said to my sister and my brothers, I'm going to come with you this week. I was only coming for the sweets. So this is why it's so familiar for me. I've never seen it before since then. But to come to church and say, you'll get sweets for your birthday. Something very familiar about that. The problem was, Terry, the thing was, when the guy at the front said, is there anybody here new? Me. So they got the sweets for bringing me. Is there anybody here with a birthday? Me. Oh, you've never been before. I don't know whether we should give you any. That's what he said. I don't think we should give you any sweets. You've never been before. So there's a lady at the back, Mrs. Warner, and she said, oh, yeah, you should. No, he's never. And they have this little argument between them whether I should get the sweets or not. In the end, she won, and I got the sweet, and I went again. I would never have gone again if that hadn't happened to me. Little thing, but God got a hold of my life that day. And I started to go every week, and I heard things about the Lord that I'd never heard before. And they opened the Bible, and they began to talk to me about the things of God. And I began to get interested in what was taking place. And there was a family there that lived in the area. They had a lad who was a year older than me and a lad who was a year younger than me. And they kind of took me under their wing. And they invited me to their house after Sunshine Corner. Would you like to come to our house for tea? Well, that was a novelty for me. And anything to get out of our house full of 8 kids and our parents, anything to get away for a few hours. So they invited me to their house. And they said, if you come for tea, you can come with us to church. Well, that was a novel thing. So we used to go to tea. And then we'd go off to Selioak Elim Church. And in those days, Sunday night gospel service, the place was rammed with people. Whether it's because they had a lot of students in the area or I don't know what it was, but there was a buzz about the place. And the people were excited to be together. And you heard about the things of God and you heard about what Jesus could do for you. And I was really intrigued by it. So my birthday, as you can tell, October. Come the following May, after all those weeks and months, come the following May, I made my decision. I'm going to serve the Lord. So at the end of the gospel service on Sunday night, the pastor, Frank Shadlock, his name, always wore a dog collar. Don't do it these days, do they? You've got one. Yeah. Anybody want to give their heart to Jesus? So I put my hand up. And there was another lady as well, like someone else in the congregation today, put their hand up. And so he said, fine, let's pray for this lady. Completely ignored me sitting there. Let's pray for this lady. It didn't really matter because God got a hold of my life. And that's the most important thing. And I thank God for all that he has led me through all these years. That was in, well, I was 10 when I got my sweets for my birthday. So I've just celebrated my 67th birthday. So I've been walking with the Lord now for over 55 years. I can work it out. It's okay. And during those 55 years, I've learned something. That you can't live your Christian life in your own strength. It's impossible. It's impossible. In fact, it was so important that we understood this message that Jesus said to his disciples when he was on the earth, just before he left them, he said some important things. And he talked about the Holy Spirit. Now, in my mind, when I was a kid, I'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. But then I thought, well, if there are evil spirits, then there must be a Holy Spirit. So if evil spirits come from the devil, then the Holy Spirit must be from God. And as you read the Bible, you begin to see that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Things that he said and the things that he did was because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the power that he had in his life was God's power in him, living inside of him. Although he was flesh and blood, and although he was the Son of God in the sense that he didn't commit any sin, he still lived relying upon the power of God, the presence of God's Spirit within him. So very important that Jesus said something to us before he left. You know, the last words of somebody, let me put my glass on. The last words of somebody are very important. You know, when somebody takes the time to say something, well, the last recorded words of Jesus when he was on the earth was this. He told his disciples, he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father's promised. I've told you about this gift, this promise. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Those were Jesus' last words to his disciples. Well, let's say the last recorded words in the gospel. Important that the people who wrote the story about Jesus included these last words. He said, don't go anywhere until you have received the gift. You've been baptized in water. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That word baptism is to plunge or to drench or to soak. And some churches, they christen children, don't they? And they call that a baptism. But the actual Greek meaning of the word baptizo means something more than just sprinkling. And many Christians who have given their heart to Jesus follow Jesus' example. And as he went into the River Jordan and was baptized, it was a sign that his old life and his sins had been washed away and he was rising up in new life. And that's what baptism in water is. But when he used the word baptize, baptizo, to drench, to soak, you are going to be drenched or soaked or filled with Holy Spirit. That was his message to his followers. He said, don't think about going to speak about me until you have received power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will be witnesses to me. So the Holy Spirit important in our life. The power of God is important in our life. Why? So that we can be a witness. We can tell other people about Jesus. More than that, he transforms us from the inside out. We took the communion this morning, the bread symbolizing Jesus' body that was broken, the little cup with the red juice in. It's not wine, as has been pointed out, but it symbolizes the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and has forgiven us. And at the very heart of the good news, which is what the gospel is, good news, at the very heart of that is this thought that you can be forgiven, you can have a new beginning, because all those wrong things that we do and have done, when Jesus hung on the cross, he took the punishment that we deserve. And he took it upon himself. He said, Father, don't punish them, punish me. So he went to the cross, he bore the punishment, he took my place. And as we take the bread and as we drink the cup, we are remembering what Jesus did for us. He took our place. We say, sorry, Lord, forgive me. And he does. As we come to him in faith, as we ask, so we receive his cleansing, we receive his forgiveness. That's what the good news is all about. Up to that point, there was a set of laws, 10 commandments. You had to do this, do this, do this, not do this, not do this, not do this. But when Jesus came, he came to show there was a different way. To show that by trusting God, by living for him, by relying on God's presence in your life, you can actually be an instrument to introduce someone else to God. You will be my witnesses. But you must receive power first. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that when Jesus came, he came not to further some new religion, but he came to bring us into a relationship with God. That's very important. Religion, well, you know, I'd been in the Methodist Church for a few months as a kid, and I've been to the Anglican Church, and I was baptized as a Catholic. So I'd had a bit of a taste of religion. And when I came to that age, I thought, I'm too old for all this. This isn't for me. But it's not what God wanted for me. He didn't want me to have religion. He wanted me to have a relationship with him. And it started by me acknowledging what Jesus did for me on the cross. How he forgave me. How he cleansed me. And now he's keeping me. For you know, the Bible tells us we are kept by the power of God. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. You need a Holy Spirit to strengthen you day by day. So from the very moment that you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit is your companion. And he introduces you or connects you to the things of God. Now, I don't know how this works. Any boffins here know how it works? When you switch it on, somehow you're connected to the internet. And somehow, by being connected to the internet, then you've got a whole infinite world, if I can use that phrase, of information and knowledge and anything you want to know. It's all there. But you can't access any of it unless you've got either Wi-Fi or data, and then you're connected to the internet. Now, I've used that little illustration, never heard of it before, but something I thought, well, that might help us understand how it is with the Holy Spirit. He connects us to the things of God. And without him, all that wonderful wealth of knowledge and instruction that God wants to give to us, we can't access it without him connecting us to the things of God. And it helps you understand that everything that God wants for you in your life, he will introduce you to it. And as you hear him, and as you follow him and obey him, he will bring all good things into your life. Now, when I made my decision at the age of 10 and a bit to to follow Jesus, it wasn't straightforward. My family thought, well, I don't know what they thought, but they didn't like the fact that I was going to the Ealing Church at Selly Oak. In fact, they used to get the word wrong. They used to call it the Healing Church. Not the Ealing Church. The word Ealing is an old-fashioned word from the Bible. It talks about a place where there was refreshment and shade and people could relax and be refreshed in the presence of God. That was what the word Ealing came from. But my family didn't understand that. They thought I was going to the Healing Church. Well, that's not so bad. I don't mind that, because when the power of God is moving amongst people, healing does take place. Anybody here had a healing? Quite a few of you. Isn't that great? Absolutely wonderful. Thank God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I quote that because they used to have it at the front at Selly Oak Ealing. It was a banner at the front. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Although Jesus himself isn't walking the earth, he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem because you are going to be filled. Then you are going to carry the same message with the same power, and you're going to see the same results that you've seen in my life. Isn't that great? It's the same as he was then, he is now. And as he said that to his disciples then, he's saying the same thing to us now, that we are his witnesses. The Holy Spirit, he is the generator that gives us the power to live the Christian life. My wife, some years ago, pointed out to me, you know these pillars that hold up the motorway? You know you've got elevated sections of the motorway, round by Spaghetti Junction, and parts of the M5 and the M6. The motorway is elevated. Well, these columns of concrete that hold the motorway up, they're not what they seem. They look like concrete, but inside, hidden, is a steel girder, a steel rod. And people look at us and they think we are flesh and blood. But inside of us, there is a strength. There is a power that has come from God. We may think at times, oh, it's just her, it's just him. But remember, we are brothers and sisters of the family of God. And we recognize the presence of God in each of our lives. That God can speak to us through our brothers and through our sisters. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, then you need to be. So you can be a witness for him, because he makes us and helps us live the Christian life to the full. Without him, it can be just a religious set of rules. I don't want to be religious. I'd rather have a proper relationship with Jesus. And it's when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us that we start to find that we can live out everything that we are in Christ from a heart that's been motivated by love. You know, the Catholic Church, I don't know whether it's still like it, but it was when I was a youngster. The Catholic Church kind of ruled by fear. If you stepped out of line, God was there with a big stick to whack you. You know, and the fear of God got into people. Well, that's not the kind of relationship that God wants. Yes, we have respect for him, for we know who he is, but that's not the issue. The issue is he loves us. The Bible says God so loved the world. So love the world. And it's the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we want to connect with God, and we want the Holy Spirit to enable us to connect with him. We want to love what the Holy Spirit loves. We want to focus on what the Holy Spirit. So let's have a look at a few things of what the Holy Spirit loves. All right. The first one, he loves the Word of God. So John chapter 14 and verse 26 says this. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, He will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit loves the word. And the things that Jesus said to his disciples, he quickened it and brought it back to their remembrance. And our connection with the Holy Spirit begins as we hear the word of God, as we, if we can, study the Bible and read the word of God. And now it's the Holy Spirit who breathes life into that word, making that word come alive in our hearts so that we know, that we know, that we know that what God said, he means, and we stand upon God's word. That's why the word of God is so important to us. Because you can't live the Christian life in your own strength or with your own ideas. You need to know what Jesus said. And the Holy Spirit, he's the one who brings the things that Jesus said back to our mind. So he loves the word of God. If he loves the word of God, then he's teaching me to love the word of God as well. So we can have the word of God by reading the Bible. What you could do in a book, or you can get an app on your phone, or you can hear the word of God when you come to God's house. You come to church and you hear the word of God taught, or sometimes in a prayer group or a small group where somebody else is telling you what Jesus said and how Jesus changed their life, and they're witnessing to you about Jesus. So you're hearing what God says. So we build our life not upon our own ideas, but we build our life upon God's word, which is a foundation that we can stand on. So, number one, he loves the word, and he wants to bring the word to our mind. The Holy Spirit also loves to focus on how much God loves you. Romans 5:5 says, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You want God's love to operate in your life? Then you need to be full of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings the love of God into our hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to receive God's love, to receive God's forgiveness, to receive that cleansing. Make us, as we've heard this morning, make us strong, because our slate has been wiped clean. I'm no longer under a heavy cloud of condemnation because of the, you know, people live their lives, and I don't know how they exist from week to week sometimes. They live their lives in such a way that they feel sorry for this, they're burdened by that, and there's a big cloud, and they live under a kind of a burden and an oppression. But the Holy Spirit lifts all that. If you ask him, he will bring the love of God, he will forgive you, cleanse you, lift those burdens, and give you a spring in your step and a love in your heart for other people as well. We can live then in the knowledge of God's unconditional love for us as the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Bible says that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. So not only does he give us his love, he gives us his joy, and he brings his peace as well. We're not fighting God. We're at peace with God. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he connects us. He loves the word of God. He loves us to focus on what God loves. And the Holy Spirit wants to make you more like Jesus. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, we read this. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, so Jesus was talking about a time when the Holy Spirit would come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. We needn't be in darkness. We needn't be afraid. We needn't think there's no way forward for me. The Holy Spirit will help us in our Christian walk. We take step by step, bit by bit. We move forward because he's speaking to us. He's telling us the truth. He's guiding us. He's leading us. He wants to fashion our lives so that we live in this earth and amongst people like Jesus did. Not only loving people, but loving God as well. That's the slogan for this church, isn't it? Loving God, loving people. You're loving God? Yes, you can say yes. You're loving people? Yes, you can say yes. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit who wants to make us more like Jesus. He's called the Holy Spirit. That means he wants to make us live, can I say this? A holy life. A life that's not offensive to God. A life that's not offensive to other people. But a life that is at peace with God, full of the love of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have peace in our hearts and a smile because we know we are at peace with God and we can walk closely with the Lord, knowing that he speaks to us. We hear him. He guides us. And you know what? When that happens, he will bring you across other people's path so that you can help someone else as well. So when Jesus said, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be a witness for me. That's what he meant. He's going to bring you across somebody else's path so that they'll see Jesus in you. Do people see Jesus in you? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing of ourselves. It's not by our might, nor by our strength, nor by our power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. He is a person. And he wants to make Jesus real in our life. He's not some influence, but he is a person. He has a mind, has a will, has emotions. Jesus himself said, I am going to go away, but somebody else is going to come. And he's going to be with you always. He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, as Christians, we accept and believe that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three, but three in one. One in three. Do you understand that? You can say no, because I don't. But I accept it. I accept that Father God made everything. I accept that when he spoke the word, everything came into being. And I accept that he revealed himself to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who came amongst us. And really, by his life and by his work, showed us what God is really like. He was able to call God Father. And he introduced us to Father God. So we thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Son has returned back to live with the Father. He said, one day I'm going to come again, so you better keep ready. Keep watch. I'm coming soon. Meanwhile, you've got a work to do. This gospel of this good news has got to be taken around the world. He said, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem. You're going to be filled. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be witnesses. Then you can share in the power and the might of the Lord. You can tell other people. And do you know that's exactly what happened? The disciples, they were afraid. Jesus had left them. They'd locked the door. They'd closed the windows. They didn't know what to do. They were stuck in the upper room. They thought, what can we do? Lord, what can we do? And they began to pray. And suddenly, one day, after a few days of praying and waiting upon the Lord, the Bible describes what happened. Suddenly, there was a rushing wind. And they heard something. And when they looked at each other, there was a flame. They could see a flame upon each person's head. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit the first time. They heard his coming. They saw his power and they realized God was doing something new and fresh amongst the disciples. From that moment, they burst out of the room and they began to declare to all the people that were listening all the great things and all the good things about God. It started in Jerusalem and then it went on. They moved from Jerusalem to the next place, to the next place, to the next place. Now you can go virtually anywhere in the world and you can hear the name of Jesus, not being as a swear word, but you can hear the name of Jesus being lifted, worshipped and adored because the Holy Spirit is bringing about the fulfillment of the promise. You shall go and be witnesses to me, to all the world. Lord, let this be your prayer. Lord, make me more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves you to pray in the language that he gives you. You know, when the disciples received the Holy Spirit on that first occasion, not only did they hear the wind, not only did they see the flames of tongue on their head, but they began to speak out in a language that they'd never learned. So if you're in church or in a house group or somebody's in prayer with you and they begin to speak in tongues, they're not speaking another language that is a recognizable language on the earth. Maybe it is, but most times it's not. They're speaking a language that the Holy Spirit has given. And it's an ability to be able to connect directly with God. It bypasses your mind and your thoughts, comes from your spirit, and you are in tune with the Lord, speaking to him in other tongues. A language that you never learn, but it's a prayer language. It's a language of worship and devotion and adoration and praise. And we can speak to the Lord directly, bypassing all our thoughts, but speaking from our heart to him. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit enables us to speak directly. Jude says, and I'm just going to quote this, "Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Whilst we're here on the earth, before we go back to heaven, whilst we're here on the earth, keep in tune through prayer, through the word, through loving people, through serving people. And most importantly and last, the Holy Spirit not only loves for you to pray in his language, but he loves for you to worship Jesus." Jesus went back to heaven and is seated at the right hand of his Father, a place where he is adored. And we worship him. When we sing songs, when we come together, a lot of our songs are expressing how we feel, but they also express our heart towards him as well. And that's worship. That's devotion. That's adoration. This is what Jesus said. "I've got many things to say to you." In John 16 and verse 12 to 14, he said this: "You can't bear them now, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you." One of the things that categorize the presence of the Holy Spirit is he glorifies Jesus. He lifts Jesus up. He adores him. He worships him. He bigs him up for what he has done. That's why when you're amongst Christian people, they're always talking about Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus. He wants Jesus to be made known. And the work and all that Jesus accomplished on the earth, it's the Holy Spirit's job to make it known. And who does he use? He uses you. He uses me. So we're not here to big ourselves up. We're not here to big our church up or big our organization up or big our experience or our history. We're here to big up him, to glorify him. The Holy Spirit loves to glorify Jesus. When we gather together, we lift our hearts in praise, in worship, and we do it to glorify him. Let's just bow for a moment as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in a place like this to hear your word to us. And we thank you that you gave us your dear son. We thank you, Jesus, for what you accomplished for us. The things you said and what you did, we thank you. And we thank you that you've poured out of your spirit, the Holy Spirit, into each of our hearts and lives. And I pray, Lord, for any here today who's not filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will fill them with power from on high. I ask for that, Lord, that your name will be continued to be glorified and uplifted here in Acock Screen. Amen.